All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's share. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Nisan, Sa'id and Simahakin, for dedicating all the Shomer Drashos this month to show their Hakaras Hatov to Hashem for all of his Nisim and Niflos. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu continue to bestow his Rachmanos upon us, redeem all of the hostages, and bring complete Hatzlacha to our precious soldiers, to Am Yisrael, and to Eretz Yisrael. And the Ilui Nishmas Yachmiel Buck's father, Martin Buck, Matl Ben Chaim Leib, HaKohen Zichron Levracha. Our week of learning sponsors, Paul and Kathy Pollack, in memory of Paul's mother, Florette Pollack, Sarah Bas, Avram Zichron Levracha, we obtain the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshamas Lavin Aliyah, and the families in the Chama. So with that, let us begin. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Some really exciting Gemara ahead of us as well. So we are picking up today's daf is Samech Hei, 65. We are picking up on the Samech Tal, Rabbi 64b at the Ikid de Amri. It is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 lines up from the bottom. So remember again, we were introduced to the Mishnah yesterday, a really interesting Mishnah, that is essentially a very simple halacha, that if you lend money to someone, it almost feels like this is what like the parish should have started with, as it's a very straightforward case. You lend money to someone, it's very loud, or is it, it's okay? Okay, if you go ahead and you lend money to someone, so you cannot live in their property either rent-free or at a diminished rent, because to do so ultimately, again, would allow the lender to go ahead and acquire an additional benefit, and that would constitute ribis. See, Igid Amri, so we'll say that's version one. Version two, Igid Amri, Amr of Yosef Am Yumi, Amr of Nachman, Afa Pisho, Amr of Darach, Hatzachaber Shalom, Yidaito, Yenitzarach, Lalas, Loschar. Even though in general, the halacha is like this, if you live in someone's property without their knowledge, you don't have to pay them rent. Now, this is an important statement to qualify. What does that mean? Remember, there are many qualifications of this. This is halacha l'maisa. If you go ahead and it's not normally a property that's rented out, right? So remember again, you live in someone's property that he doesn't normally rent out. He's eino chaser. That person is not diminished. He's not put at a disadvantage. So I may benefit zenene v'zeino chaser. You know, normally that's how that is permitted. Halaveni v'dar bechatzeri sarach lahalos loschar. I will say, but let's say, for example, if I go over to Reuven and Reuven says, hey, Silber, lend me $10,000, and if you do so, you can live in my property rent-free, then that is usher. That is usher. Now, I will say, if it's logical, why is it usher? That's ribis. That's ribis. Now, I will say, now, I just want to be clear. If I lend Reuven $10,000 and Reuven says, you can live in my home rent-free, and every month, you know, we'll diminish the principal by the amount of the rent, that's fine. Right, that's just another form of repayment. The issue over here is that Reuven's going to pay me the $10,000, plus I'm getting the benefit of living in his home rent-free. That's where ribis comes in. So we'll say, so what's the difference in the two versions? In version one, there was no statement tying the rent to the loan. In version one, I lent Reuven $10,000, right? That was the loan. That was the transaction. And then just as an aside, right, I started living in his house rent-free. But there was never a stipulation between the two of us. In version two, there was an explicit stipulation. Reuven said, lend me $10,000, I'll pay you back in a year. And in the interim, you can live in my house rent-free. So in version two, there's an explicit stipulation. So the one who subscribes to version one, certainly that is problematic, certainly agrees that version two is problematic. Because version one, where there is no explicit stipulation, is going to be ribis. So certainly version two, where there is an explicit stipulation, is going to be ribis. Uman dharma halvini haval halvehu lo. I will say, but the one who subscribes to version two, where there is an explicit stipulation, he said that's ribis, but version one wouldn't be a problem of ribis. My time, but what's the reason? Kevin de meikar lavadaiti dahachi osfe leslanba. Well, see, in version one, since the loan was not made with the intention of the free rent, therefore, it doesn't serve as a problem. See, in version one, I lent Reuven $10,000. Okay, then whatever. The next day, a week later, a month later, I begin to utilize his property rent-free. So according to version, right, the man number of version two would say that according to that, version one is not a problem. Why? Because it was never part of the stipulation. It was never part of the transaction. So therefore, again, it does not constitute ribbis. I will say, it happens to be, we don't paskin that way. We paskin that, again, even if the free rent was not part of the transaction, it's still problematic. It's still problematic because anytime you are getting an additional benefit in addition to the payment of your principal, whether or not it was stipulated or not, but it's clear or it's possible that in some way that additional benefit is related to what? The fact that I lent someone money, that's ribbis. That's ribbis. So I'll say, this is actually a very important piece. Again, I was speaking much about this yesterday. I think maybe over Shavuos, maybe we'll take some opportunity to do some different ribbis cases. Because there's some really incredible cases. Because what this means is as follows. If you lend someone money, you have to be very careful about getting favors from that person. Because those, again, even though it's not like, I lent within $1,000, I walk over, so can I borrow a cup of sugar? Remember that $1,000 I lent you? You know, right? Obviously, it's not that. But just in general, there's a concern in halacha that if you lend someone money, any additional favors that you get from that person may carry a problem of ribbis. So just something to keep in mind. Anyway, let's go back there. Rav Yosef Bar Chama, so it's an interesting case here. Rav Yosef Bar Chama, Tokif Avdei De'inshi D'masek B'hu Zuzin, V'Aved B'hu Avedita. So Rav Yosef Bar Chama lent money to someone. Right? He lent money to someone, and what happened? And he actually lent money to Reuven. Then afterwards, he seized Reuven's, seized is a strong word, he took Reuven's Eved, and took Reuven's Eved to his house, Rav Yosef's house, to do work for him. Amalei Rava Bray. So Rava, Rav Yosef's son, said to him, my time of it mar hachi, why did you conduct yourself this way? So to which Rav Yosef responded, because I must say, again, it appears like ribbis, right? Rav Yosef lent Reuven money, and then Rav Yosef afterwards goes and takes Reuven's Eved to do work in Rav Yosef's house. So Rav Yosef's son says, you know, Tate, right, Manishtana, what's going on over here? How are you able to do this? This should be ribbis. So the Gemara says, Amrle, Anak Rav Nachman Sirle, Achen look Rav Nachman. What does Rav Nachman say? Don Rav Nachman, Avda Nuhum Krese Lo Shavi. An Eved usually isn't worth the value of filling his stomach. I was about to say, what this means is most avadim underperform, right? They're loss leaders. They underperform. So therefore, again, an eved is usually never working for his keep. So therefore, again, he's underperforming by Reuven anyway. I just took him to my house to do some work because at least if I take him to my house, what am I going to do? I'm going to feed him. So in fact, I'm saving Reuven some money because generally on any given day, an Eved doesn't even generate enough income to pay for himself. So like this, I took the Eved, I'm feeding him, I'm not causing Reuven any kind of loss. So Rava said, the Gemara says, so Amrle Emer de Amrav Nachman ki go dori avdei de market be kuvi. So I'll say, so maybe when Rav Nachman said that, he was talking about a servant like his servant Dori. So Rav says, this servant was an interesting guy. So Dari, apparently, he wasn't so into work. Yeah, I know a lot of people like that, right? He just wasn't so into work. So what would he do? But he had an incredible talent. He was a good dancer. He would go to the local tavern, and he would dance for drinks, right? He would do a little dance, and people would buy him a l'chaim. So maybe when Rav Nachman was saying that, he was talking about his own Eved experience. However, again, the Gemara says, Achrini, mi amar. But we think Rav Nachman was just making like a sweeping statement about all avadim. That seems to be improbable. So Rav Yosef said, "You're right." Amar le anaki hadrav Daniel bar Katino. Amar Rav Svirli. The Amar hatokif avdo shachaver va'asav malacha potter. So I said, "So Rav Yosef said, you're right." I hold like a different position of Rav Daniel bar Katino. So Daniel bar Katino said the name of Rav that if you go ahead and you seize someone's eved to do work. Now, so we're talking about a case over here. Let's say, Reuven has an eved. And Reuven's Eved is not doing any work right now. And I go and I take Reuven's Eved and I bring him to my house to do work. That ultimately, again, I am Pater. I don't owe Reuven anything. Why is that? We've seen this before. Top of Samechai 65a. Denechalei delonistri avdei. Because I will say it is in the master's best interest that what? That the slave, that servant doesn't have any idle time. Right? Idle time for Avodim. Alright, idle time for Avodim, I will say, is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. So therefore, again, Rav Yosef posited, I was able to take Reuven's. Reuven Zeved, because this way I put him to work. He's no longer idle, and I'm actually doing it. It's actually a benefit. It's actually a favor that I am providing for Reuven. I will say it is an incredible Musa Haskil as well. We too are Avadim. We are Avdei Hashem, right? We are Avdei Hashem. And I will say, in fact, again, this was the entire essence of Pesach, is that we became Avdei Hashem v'lo Avdei Paro. That's the essence of the Yom Tov of Pesach. And I will say, what does the Gemara say? What is the most important thing for an Eved? What's the one thing for an Eved? No idle time. And I will say, I just want to be clear. No idle time doesn't mean that a person is working every minute. It doesn't mean that a person is learning every minute. But it means is there's no idle time. Idle time is, I will say, there should be no part of your life that is unscripted. The Piagetzna writes about this. The Rebbe writes that every part of your day should be scripted. Even your relaxation. You want to relax? Great. You are absolutely relaxed. How much time are you relaxing for? Right? What are the hours of relaxation? You want to sleep? Fantastic. What are the hours of sleep? The Rebbe says the goal is there should not be any unscripted time. That when I look back at my day, I should be able to account for how I used every... And it's incredible. The Piaget himself writes, he says, you want to hang out with friends, but he doesn't have the illusion of hanging out. But you want to hang out with friends? Great. Go for it. How long? How long? And everything should be scripted. That is a life that prevents one from falling into the clutches of idleness. Because for an Eved, the bane of an Eved's existence is idle, unscripted time. Incredible. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amar leh, so Rava san said, "Hani mi lihecha de lo masik beizuzei." So Rava says, "Here's the problem." He said, "Father, that's fine. In other words, yes, you could take someone's eved and do work with him in order not to keep him idle. But lamaisa, here's the problem. Father, you lent money to Reuven." Even though normally the halacha is that if you live in someone's home rent-free when they don't rent out that property, you don't have to pay them rent because it's zenene v'zelo chaser, right? I am benefiting and the owner is not losing anything. However, halveyu v'dar b'chaser, tzarch lahalos lo schar. But I will say, if you lend someone money, then no, you can't live in their property rent-free. Why? Because you are getting an additional benefit as a result of the loan. So remember again, what is Rava telling his father of Yosef? Father, you might be right that under normal circumstances, the halacha is if I go over to Reuven and I take his Eved, of course, we're also talking about a case where Reuven's Eved is not engaged in any work for Reuven. And I take Reuven's Eved and I bring him to my house and I put him to work and I feed him and I take care of him. Technically speaking, I'm potter. I don't have to pay Reuven anything. Why? Because I'm actually doing Reuven a benefit. Why? Because I'm keeping his Eved busy. I'm keeping him out of trouble. Rescuing him from the clutches of idleness. That's great. But father, you're in a different situation over here because you've lent Reuven money. And remember, when you've lent someone money, you have to be careful about getting any other benefit from them because that benefit could be construed as ribis. And therefore, father, this act of taking the Eved and bringing him to your house to do work after you lent the owner of this Eved money could really be problematic. So again, Rav Yosef said to his son, Rava, you're right, Hadribi. You're right, I take it back. I made a mistake. Hadribi, literally I've changed my mind and I'm not going to go ahead and utilize the Eved anymore. So I'll say, what a profound Moser Haskell. Those words, Hadribi, sometimes are the hardest words to utter. Right? Hadribi, I changed my mind. You are right. I take it back. And I will say, the godless of this also is, this is a father to a son. Right? Sometimes it's very hard for a father to admit that he was wrong, right, to his child. And here again, you see Rav Yosef admitting to Rava Hadribi. You will say the humility that is needed in life to be able to accept, I made a mistake, right? Again, son pointed out to him in a very respectful way that he erred in a matter of halacha, and the father accepted the musar, the beautiful musar, incredible. Amar Rabbi, Haiman Damasik Zuzei, Durebisei Bechavrei. So what's the interesting case over here? So let's say I lent Reuven money. And I've also said the case in question over here is I lent him money, and I lent him with ribis. I engaged illegally in an interest transaction. And let's say the amount of ribis that I lent him, the ribis amount, was 4 zuz. That was the Ribbis amount. Okay? So what does it say? So now what happened? Watch this. So the Gemara says, Sahaiman Damasik Zuzi Rabbi Isi Bichari. So I lent Ruvain alone, and I lent him, the interest amount was 4 zuz. The Ka'az Lichiti Arba Giruye Mezuzah Bezuzah Beshuga. So what does it say? So what happened? So the Gemara says, V'yayib Iyu Chamsha. So what does it say? So what happened? Salach Alamaisa. Good. Salach Alamaisa. So what happened in the marketplace? In the marketplace, so you could go ahead and you could get 4 measures of wheat for a zuz. Okay. So now Reuven's paying me back. Actually, forget about the 4 zuzim. Right. He's paying back the interest amount. Right. We'll call it a zuz. So we'll say. So what happens? Now he's paying the interest in wheat. So normally, the way the marketplace works is you get 4 measures of wheat for a zuz. Okay, so now he's paying me a zuz of interest, but instead he decides, V'yayiv le'ihu chamisha. Reuven gives me 5 measures of wheat for the interest. Okay, so the interest amount would have normally been 4 measures of wheat. He gives me 5 measures of wheat. All right, so we'll say, so now, obviously, a ribbis transaction is illegal, and as we're going to see again, Beis Din does get involved. We extract ribbis. When ribbis has been given, so the legal system kind of is activated and the ribbis is clawed back. So now what's the shiloh here? The shiloh is, what do we claw back in this case over here? Really, the ribbis was only 4 measures of wheat. Reuven gave me 5 measures of wheat. So what does the halacha claw back? So ki mafkina mine, arba mafkina mine. Listen to this. The halacha only claws back for Reuven 4 measures of wheat. Right? Why? Idach, Azulehu de Kamozel Gabe. Because Rabbi said that 5th measure, that was something that Reuven threw in. In other words, that's not the ribbis. Now it's interesting. The Gemara doesn't call it a gift, which is interesting, but that's essentially how the halacha is treating it. Like Reuven just gave me a cheaper wheat, or he gave me wheat at a cheaper rate. So it's interesting. When we claw back the ribbis, we only claw back the actual ribbis amount itself. Any amounts above and beyond the stipulated ribbis, essentially the halacha doesn't get involved with. Very interesting. Another case, Rava. A couple of cases like this. Rava Amar, Chamisha Mafkinan Mine, to make Kara Betoras Rabisa Asadede. So that's Abai. Abai says, we only claw back 4. Rava says, what are you talking about? We claw back all 5. All 5. Why is the additional money being given? Why is it being given? Ribbis. If it's ribbis, claw it back. But Reuven paid extra ribbis. It doesn't matter. Any additional amounts that are being given betoras ribbis, and therefore clawed all back. Next case. That's case 1. So Bachol Gizabai and Rava. We paskin like Rava. In that case, we claw everything back. Any additional amounts are going to get clawed back as ribbis. Next. So let's say now, watch this. I'm sorry, this was the 4 zuz case, right? So now what happens? I'm the same case. I'm lending Reuven money. And I will say, in this case over here, it's what we call ribbis katsutsa. This goes back to, when did we start Ezun that? No, this was second day of last days. This was last day Yontif, Achron Shal Pesach, ribbis katsutsa, right? Ribbis katsutsa is a defined amount of ribbis. This is classic ribbis. Right, classic ribbis says, you know, I'm lending Reuven $1,000, pay me back $1,200. Right, established, defined, predefined ribbis. So as I said, in this case over here, I lend Reuven money, and again, we have ribbis katsutsa. He's got to pay me back 4 zuz. That's talacha, 4 zuz. V'yayiv le'glima begavaihu. So as I said, now what happened? Reuven gave me a cloak as the ribbis payment. That's what he did. So he didn't give me 4 zuz. He gave me a cloak. Ki mafkinan mine, arba mafkinan mine, glima lo mafkinan mine. So Rabbi says, interesting. Abaye says, when we extract the ribbis, so Rabbi says, so now, the cloak may be worth 4 zuz, maybe worth more than 4 zuz. The point over here that Abaye makes is, when we claw back the ribbis, what do we claw back? Not the cloak. We just claw back 4 zuz. In other words, I will say, you see this theme over here in Abaye, that Abaye essentially says, when you have stipulated ribbis, the clawback is for the stipulated ribbis. That's it. The borrower chooses to give something more or different item. We're not getting into this. You made a ribbis transaction. We know exactly how much the ribbis is. That is the amount that lender is obligated to give back to borrower. So now in this case, over here, Reuven paying me back with a cloak. I keep the cloak, give back the four zuz. Rava says, no. Glima mafkina mene, absolutely not. You have to give back the cloak. My time, what's the reason? Ki hechidil lemru, glima demechsi vikai, glima derebisehu. Rava says, it's very simple. We can't, the halacha can't let me keep the cloak. Why? Because Rava says, that cloak is going to be identified as what? As what? A ribbis cloak. And Rava says, you can't have me walking around town with a ribbis cloak. Right? Why? Because people are going to think that it's permitted to charge interest. So Rava said, by the way, it's similar to this idea that even like if the father dies, right, let's say father stole, father dies, children inherit the object. Technically speaking, children are not obligated to give back the stolen property of their father. Unless, of course, what? The object is extant, because then people will say, oh, there's the object that Reuven stole. So Rava posits over here, the same idea is in the cloak. If I got this cloak as an interest payment, even if I'm giving back the money, no, you have to give back the cloak. Why? Because it's a cloak of ribbis. And if you're walking around town, people are going to say, oh, Silva's wearing a ribbis cloak. All right, next case. So I'll say, by the way, once again, we pass like Rava in that case as well. Give back the cloak. Give back the cloak. So I'll say, see this theme over here. Whatever you're getting as a ribbis payment, give it back. Give it back. Next, I'm a Rava. Hi, man, demasek tracer, zuze dribise vechavre, va'agar lechatzar, demiskara basara, va'ogri nehile betracer. So we'll say, now listen to this. Interesting case, right? I lend Reuven 12 zuz, okay? I lend him 12 zuz of interest. Now watch this. Now, in return, what Reuven does is, he rents me a chatzar that would normally be rented out for 10 zuz. But we agreed that the rental amount essentially would be 12 zuz. So essentially what I'm doing is, I'm getting the interest payment in the form of a rental. He's renting me his property. Now, the way this is working is, but the rental price is inflated a little bit, right? So in other words, normally the rental price would be 10 zuz, but it's inflated a bit to be 12 zuz to satisfy the interest payment. Okay, so let's do this. Now what happens? The way this works is, I already lived in the chatzar, so I got the interest benefit. Now Beis Din comes along and says, give back the interest benefit to Reuven, to the borrower. So watch this. Kimafkinan mine, tracer mafkinan mine. So Rava says, now here's what's interesting. When there's a clawback, what's the clawback amount for? 12 zuz. Because that was a stipulated amount of interest. I velemale so amrle rav achem edifti ravina no. Velemale ki agra hechi da ha kamishtar shili. Hashta de lo mishtar shili ki da agri kuli amahu. Dagarno. So I'll say, listen to this. So I should be able to say like this. I don't have to pay 10 zuz. At most, what should I have to pay? Sorry, I don't have to pay 12 zuz. What should I have to pay? 10 zuz. Because 10 zuz is the real value of the rental. Right? In other words, I could say I was willing to accept the value as 12 zuz because essentially it was free money, so to speak. It was interest fine. Normally the rental will be worth 10 zuz. I'll accept it as 12 zuz because, again, that's what we agreed upon. But now if you're clawing back money from me, why should you claw back 12 zuz? At most, you should claw back 10 zuz because that's the actual value of the rental. Because we say back to the lender, Mishum de Amarle, Savris the Kabbalist. No, you accepted it. In other words, you accepted, you valued this rental at 12 zuz. So for you, this represented a 12 zuz value. And therefore, in the clawback, you're going to have to pay back 12 zuz. So I will say, so really three different scenarios, which we really boil down into two cases. Number one, I will say, whatever you get for ribbis, that's what you give back. So again, you are only supposed to get, you know, four measures of wheat. You got five, you give back five. You got four zuz, but the borrower gave you a cloak, you give back the cloak. You got a service, and that service was overvalued, right, to match up to the amount of ribbis. After you got that service, when you pay back the ribbis, you pay back the amount, the actual amount of the ribbis, irrespective of whether or not the service was inflated. Incredible, incredible. Mishnah, here we go. Marben ala schavein, marben ala mechar. You could increase the amount for schar, for really essentially a rental, but not for a sale. What's the case over here? Here we go. Ketzad, what's the case? Fine. Fine, let's just read the Mishnah. So Ketzad, Hiskia lo eschatzero. So I'll say, so watch this. I rent Reuven my field. Va'amrlo, and I say to Reuven, let's listen to this case. Va'amrlo, ime achshav ata nosin li, harehu lecha be'eser slan. So I say, Reuven, listen, if you agree to pay rent up front for the year, so I'll charge you 10 slan. 10 slan. L'shana. V'imshal chodesh b'chodesh. But if you want to pay month by month, which is fine, sela l'chodesh. Then it's one sela per month, essentially 12 slan. So if you prepay, there's a discount. If you prepay, right, you prepay for the year, 10 slan for the year. Ultimately, again, you want to pay month by month, it's going to be 12 sela for the year. One sela a month. So the Mishnah says, this transaction is mutter. This is mutter. Fine. That's case one. So we'll say that's a rental case. So essentially, the Mishnah is teaching me, if you want to prepay, there is no ribbis issue with prepaying at a discount. Okay. In other words, we'll say, the chap over here is, now what's the chap? The chap is, we don't look at this transaction as, well, since you're making me wait for my money, therefore I'm charging you more. Right? That's the way I could have looked at it. Remember again, we'll say, what is ribbis? All of ribbis comes down to one phrase. Right? Klala d'ribisa agar natarle aser. Right? Any time that you get charged more because the lender has to wait for his money, that's called ribis and it's aser. So Rabbi says, so the chiddush of the Mishnah is, even though again, if you pay me now it's 10 slime, but if you pay me month by month it's going to be 12 slime, that's not called ribis. That's not called getting charged more to have to wait for your money. Now even though when you read that, it sounds like getting charged more because I have to wait for my money. We'll see why it's mutter in just a moment. On the other hand, machar lo es sadehu va'amar lo im me'achshav atanosin li harehu shelcha be'alev zuz im legoren b'shnei ma'asar mana asar. On the other hand, I will say, if I'm selling my field to Reuven, I say, Reuven, if you pay me full amount right now, 1,000 zuz. But if there's going to be delayed payment. Now, literally, it means if we have to wait for the threshing season. In other words, if you're going to pay me over time or you're going to pay me at a later date, then it's going to be 1,200 zuz. That's usher. That's usher. So I will say, so it sounds like same transaction, yet by a rental, it's mutter, and by a sale, it's usher. All right, so here we go. So maishna reishna, maishna seifa. So I think we're asking the obvious question. So what's the difference, I will say? So why is it, again, in the rental case, if you prepay the year of the rental and you get it at a discount, that's mutter. Even though, again, if I pay month by month, it's going to be more. But yet, by a sale, if you pay everything right now, I'll give it to you for 1,000 zuz. Pay me later on 1,200 zuz is aser. What's the pshat? So the Gemara says, Rabba v'raviyosi yitermen tervayu, schirus eina mishtalames elal basof. So Rabba said, it's very interesting. The way rentals work, I will say, is technically speaking, at least from halacha, a rental is only payable at the end of the rental. But as I was saying, when you rent something, and this is actually very interesting, the halacha says the rental amount is only due after you've been given the service. It's interesting. So in other words, I think we're used to kind of thinking like rent is due on the first of the month, you're paying for the month ahead. That the halacha says that's not the way it works. Once you get the service, then you're obligated to pay. So technically speaking, a rental is only due at the end. Now, I will say, whether that's the end of every month or whether that's the end of the year, the point of the year is you only, there's no such thing as prepaying for a rental. So therefore, again, watch this. V'hai, kevan delomata zmane lemigve, lav agar natrale, so lav agar natar mashvile, dahachi shavya. So I'll say, listen to this. So therefore, in the case of the rental, I say to Reuven like this, Reuven, you don't owe me any money now. You don't owe me any money now at all, right? Because the rental is only due at the end of the duration of the rental. So you don't owe me any money, right? V'hai d'ka amrle ime achshav atanosin li harihu l'cha b'eser slaim l'shana azulihu d'ka mozul gabe. I was going to say, you don't owe me anything. What I'm offering Reuven is, look, you owe me nothing, so you don't have to pay me at all. And therefore, again, when I tell you that it's one sela a month, I will say, what does one sela a month represent? That's the actual value. That's the actual value. And what I'm offering you is the opportunity, ultimately, again, for a discount. I'm offering you a rent discount if you want it. So therefore, again, I will say, so because the way rent works is that rent is only due at the end of the rental duration, monthly or at the end of the year. And again, I'm telling you what the actual rate is. The actual rate is one seller per month, 12 seller, but I'm offering you an opportunity for a discount. There's nothing wrong. So therefore, we'll say, remember again, I'm not charging you. We'll say everything is in how the transaction is structured. I'm not charging you more if you don't pay me up front. I'm charging you market if you don't pay me up. You don't have to pay me up front, because that's not the way rentals work. Instead, what am I offering you? I'm offering you a discount if you want to prepay. That's not ribis. Ribis is only when you're charged more because you're not getting the money up front. That's not this case. They both say, if I inflated the rent, because at the end, even though rentals can be a little bit more objective than the sale of real estate, so if I inflated the rent, that's something else. But Lamais, assuming that I'm charging your regular market price, rental is not obligated until the end of the duration of the rental. And therefore, again, I'm not charging you any extra. Instead, I'm offering you the opportunity for a discount, and therefore that is permitted. Incredible. Incredible. Let's say, and that, by the way, that is halacha Lamais. That is halacha Lamais, the way rentals work. At least in halacha, we'll say, obviously, remember, the laws of ribis are fundamentally dictated also by market realities. So now, for example, if in the rental market, the way it works now is that, no, rentals are payable up front, then that could potentially change the dynamics over here. But let's just go with the Gemara right now. So let's go back to it. Seifa, keva dizvini ninu. Now, when it comes to Seifa, remember again, when it comes to a sale, so it's how do sales work in halacha? So given the zinin in who by the mishkol d'ayme achshav hilchach agar natrale huva aser. So we'll say. So now remember again. We'll say, how does it work with the sale? How does it work with the sale? When you buy something, when do you give the money? Let's see. When do you give the money? Now, at the time of the sale. At the time of the sale. So that's the way it works. I'm selling you something. Give me my money. So we'll say. So now it's clear in that case. If you give me my money now, the amount is X. If you make me wait, it's X plus Y. So I'll say, why is it X plus Y? Because you're making me wait for my money. What is that called? That's called ribis. So I'll say, so it's great. It's a very similar. So therefore, everything depends on the nature of the transaction. When you sell, as in a sale, money is due upon the sale. So therefore, pay me now is 1,000 zuz. You're not going to pay me now, you're going to pay me later. That's fine. You're making me wait for my money. There's an additional charge for that. That's called ribis. That's called ribis. Incredible. Amar Rava. Jaku be'at bo Rabbanu b'hamilsa. So I'll say the rabbis found a scriptural proof, a scriptural remez for this idea that rentals are only due right at the end of the rental. Va'ok ma'akra ki schir shana b'shana. Schiru shal shana zu eina mishtalames ela b'shana acheres. Okay, so we'll just manage to bring up an interesting, manage to bring up a scriptural proof to this idea that at least biblically, rentals will do at the end and not at the beginning. Kishir shana b'shana, like the rental of 1 year in another year, it shows you that the rental for 1 year was only due the next year. I will say, by the way, it's actually interesting that it sounds like the way rentals were done actually, at least biblically, is that you'd pay in yearly increments. So not even monthly. In other words, it was a monthly amount, but due at the end of the year. Okay, so if Rabbi said we make this fundamental distinction between a rental and a sale. A rental because it's only due at the end. Therefore, again, you could offer a discount. You could offer a discount because here, no problem. You want to pay regularly? Pay regularly. That's fine. I'm offering you a discount. That's mutter. A sale that's due now, to offer one amount now and a higher amount if you pay later, that is ribis. Let's go weiter. Im legor mishtem asar manash asar. So let's listen to this. I'm Rav Nachman. So Nachman says, Tarsha Shari. Okay, now we'll say, okay, here we go. So now we're getting into a little bit more of an in-depth sugya. It hasn't really been in-depth up until now, right? So now we're getting into a little bit more of an in-depth sugya of Tarsha. So Rav Nachman says, a Tarsha is mutter. Okay, so we'll say, what is Tarsha? Take a look at Rashi. Tarsha Shari, Rashi says, Limkar Schora Bahamtana Biyoser Midameha Ploni. So say, watch this. So Nachman says like this. Tarsha means I'm selling merchandise to Reuven at a higher price. Right? I'm selling at a higher price. So I'll say it's actually like a little bit of a reverse future. Right? Futures are normally at a discount. So this is I'm selling. Avi Fogel told me that yesterday. So I'm actually selling this at a higher price for later on. So what I'm telling you now, wheat, right? But we're locking in a higher price later on. Now, what's the chav about Tar Shabbos say is, there is no mention of, if you pay me now, I'll sell to you at a discount, right? Rather, again, it's just like the second part, which is, we're selling you now wheat, right? We're transacting wheat now to be delivered at some future date for a higher price. That's called the tarsha. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman says, that is mutter. All right, so Gemara says, okay, let's analyze this. Eisin Rami Bar Chama, Rav Nachman, Rav Oka Bar Chama, Rav Nachman, Vim Legoren, Bishnei Masar, Mana Asar. But one second, we said before that Allah Lamaisa, if you go ahead and you're selling something now, and if they pay one price now, it's a lower amount. I've also said, now the chap over here is, in this transaction, if the purchaser were to come now and offer me a lower amount, I would accept it now for the same produce. But the point over here is, if you pay later, it's going to be this inflated amount. But that's never articulated. So yet the Gemara says, but one second, we just said in the Mishnah that if you do a sale like this, where if it's one price now, it's aser, one price now, it's lower, and another price later on, it's higher, that's aser, that's ribis. So Amrle hasam katzle, hachalo katzle. It's a very simple distinction, I will say, right? What's the simple distinction? At the end of the day, in the Mishnah, that was stipulated. In the Tarsha case, it was never stipulated. In other words, Rabbi says, so in the Mishnah's case, where it was explicitly stipulated, pay now one price, pay later a higher price, that's ribis. In the Tarsha case, I simply go over to Ruvain and I say, Ruvain, I'm selling you wheat, do it a year from now, right? Bunny, do it a year from now for $1,000. So Ruvain says, okay, but if I pay you now $800, would that work? Sure, absolutely. But it's not part of the stipulation. So because it's not part of the stipulation, therefore, again, it is not a ribis scenario. Amar Papa, Tarsha Didi Shari. So Papa said, my Tarsha is permitted. If you take a look. Fine. That's actually goodbye. Tarsha Didi Shari. My Tarsha is permitted. So both say, so essentially what's happening, we're going to see this Tarsha mechanism essentially removes any discussion about a contemporary price and links everything to a future price, because it's actually a great chap. The only time you get into ribis, Rav Osei, is essentially when there are two prices, one if you pay now, and one if you pay later. Because the only reason why there's a higher later price is because you're making me wait for my money. So essentially what Tarsha says is, if I know you're not going to pay now, we just eliminate that current price and just lock in this transaction for the future price. And because there's only one future price, there's no ribis. It's fascinating. So Rav Papa says, my Tarsha is permitted. Rav Papa says, what's Rav Papa's Tarsha? Look at Rashi. Tarsha didi shari. O se shechar tamarim haya. So Rav Papa made date beer. He made date beer. So Rav says, so what happened? So umocher lo bizman hazol. And he would go ahead and he would sell it during the time that it was cheap, Tishrei. Kishar shal nisan amamtin la nisan. So now watch this. So Rav Papa made date beer. So the chapa of Rav Papa was like this. In Tishrei, date beer was cheap. And in Nisan, the prices went up. So what happened? See, he would sell in Tishrei for Nisan prices. Right? He would sell in Tishrei for Nisan prices. So the Gemara says like this. So my timer. So what's the reason? See, he says, Shcharai didi lo pasa. So first of all, my beard never spoils. Zuzi lo tzarichna. And I don't need the money right now. So I don't need money. So essentially what Papa was saying like this is that I don't need to sell beer in Tishrei. I don't need to sell it. So anuhu dekad vidna milsa gabi lokeach. So now Papa says like this. He says, at the end of the day, if you want to purchase beer from me, I don't need to sell it now. So I'm willing to wait until Nisan when the price goes up and I'll sell then. If you want to buy from me now, that's fine. But I'm charging you Nisan prices. So I'm there. Sheshes braids Ravidi. Braids Ravidi la papa. My chazimar de ka azlis basar didach. So he said to Rapapa, why are you only looking at this transaction through your vantage point? Why don't you look at it ultimately again through the vantage point of the purchaser? Zil basar dido. De ilo havalahu zuzi. Havu shakli ki hashta. Hashta de leslu zuzi. Shakli ki yukur de la kame. From the purchaser's perspective, we'll say, watch this. Now, you think to yourself like this. I don't understand. So Rav Papa is selling date beer in Tishrei for Nisan prices. Rav Papa say, so why would anyone buy from Rav Papa? It's simple. What's the answer? Credit. Rav Papa was willing to sell on credit. So he said, because I don't need the money right now, Rav Papa said, I'll sell you on credit. But I understand that if you're buying on credit, you're getting Nissan prices. So Rav Papa says, I have every right to do this. Number one, I don't need the money right now. And number two, my beer doesn't go bad. So therefore, I want to wait till Nissan to sell the beer so I can go ahead and get the higher price. But you want to buy it from me now because you want beer now. And I'm willing to sell you on credit. That's fine. But I'm selling you on Nissan prices. They said to Rav Papa, that's fine that from your perspective this works. But from the purchaser's perspective, this is ribis. Why? Because we'll say if the purchaser had money now, then what? If you have money in Tishrei, then what are you doing with your money? Cheap date beer. So now I, the purchaser, don't have money. So because I don't have money, what do I have to do? I have to go ahead and buy beer at a more expensive price because I'm getting it on credit. So I'll say, so why am I paying more money because I'm getting it on credit? Because I'm making the seller wait until Nissan to get his money. That's ribis. So essentially, the Siddur Papa is, this might work beautifully for you, but from the purchaser's perspective, it is absolutely ribis. Rav Chama said, Tarsha didi vaday shari. So Rav Chama said, my Tarsha is absolutely okay. Now, both say, now look, take a look at Rashi just a moment. Rav Chama, Tarsha didi vaday shari. So this is so fascinating. Mocher prak mat yahaya, mocher b'mokom azol, kishar shu nimkar b'mokom ayoker, umamtin lohen vein malin osol b'mokom ayoker, for whom a kabbal. So let me tell you this essentially outside. So Rav Chama had this great chap. Rav Chama would go ahead and sell, he was a merchandise salesman. But what would he do? He would essentially give merchandise to other merchants. And he would tell them, listen guys, here's the deal. For this merchandise, you owe me $1,000. Now I will say $1,000 represented the value that that merchandise could fetch on the open market in a different city. Right? So you owe me $1,000. Then what would happen? And they would lock that in. The merchants would then take the merchandise to wherever they would sell it. They'd sell the money. They would then have the rights to use that money for their own business purposes, for the duration, for the entire duration, knowing that whatever it is, 6 months from now, they would have to bring Rav Chama back the stipulated amount. Right? So therefore, again, he says, I'm giving you this merchandise, you owe me now, whatever, $1,000 for this merchandise. Between now and 6 months, they have to sell the merchandise and they have use of the money the entire time. Just in 6 months from now, bring me back my merchandise. Bring back my money. Now, look at Rashi. He goes on, he says, Now, both said the whole chap was, Rabbi Chama, as long as the merchandise was extant, Rabbi Chama had achrayis. He took responsibility for the merchandise. So if something happened, it was stolen, it broke, he would bear full responsibility. Now, interestingly enough, this wasn't considered to be a loan. See, Rabbi said, the chap over here was like this. The value of the merchandise in the area where Rav Chama gave it to them was, let's say, 500. But if you take it to a faraway place, ultimately, again, it could be worth $1,000. So, halacha lemaaseh over here, there's no ribis in this situation. Why is there no ribis? There's no loan. Why is there no loan? Because halacha lemaaseh, essentially, Rav Chama retains full responsibility over the merchandise till the moment that it is sold. Once it's sold, the proceeds become a loan. But that's fine, because the proceeds, we'll say $1,000 is the loan amount, and that's the amount that they're obligated to give back. There's no ribis. Incredible. So the Gemara says, listen to this. Now this is permitted, totally permitted. My time. Well, what's the reason? Nechalu deleika b'shusi, because Rav Chama says, I maintain full responsibility over that money. D'chol hecha t'ka'azli, shafkilu mikhsa, v'nakat lehu shuka. So we'll say, so by the way, there's additional benefit. Additional benefit, number one, is I maintain full responsibility over the goods. Number two, we'll say, ultimately, because it's goods of a Talmid Chacham, parsonage. Talmid Chacham's goods are tax exempt. Not only that, Talmid Chacham have first rights of sale in the marketplace. So these guys get the added benefit of utilizing my merchandise. So we'll say, so v'hilchasa, amadeis, v'hilchasa, kirav chama. So Rabbah say, the halacha is like Rav Chama. So Rabbah say, this is incredible. So Rabbah say, understand what's happening over here. Rav Chama, Rabbah say, I just want to point out, this is the basis for Heter Iska. Again, we don't have time to get into it now, but in Meretz Hashem, we are going to find time to be able to get into this. The idea here is that Rav Chama is giving over merchandise or money, right? But not ultimately, again, as a loan. It's being given over ultimately, again, essentially, the merchants were his agents. They were his shluchim. They were operating on his behalf to sell, in this case, to sell the merchandise. Once the merchandise was sold, the proceeds are now a loan. But that's fine. Because those proceeds, that $1,000, that's what you owe me. There's no ribbis. It only becomes a loan the moment that the merchandise is sold. So the whole chap over here is, they're acting as his agents with the merchandise for the bulk of the time. Only once the merchandise is sold does it become a loan, and the loan amount that they get, right? The loan is the same amount, it's the same $1,000, there's no ribbis, and they have the right to use that loan amount the entire, which everyone, every borrower has the right to use the loan amount, the entire duration of the loan. Incredible, absolutely incredible. Again, more to say on this, but not today. Rabbi Lazar said that ribbis ketsutza, predefined interest, is clawed back by the Beis Din. So also remember again, Rabbi Yanai said that in the case, ultimately, again, a psika alaperos, right? A forward future contract, where Allah say you could end up having to give back produce that has an elevated value and that's permitted, assuming you satisfy the criteria of yeshlo, or Yotza Hashar, that you could pay back either in the form of produce or even in additional proceeds. In other words, you could convert the value of the produce as well. So we'll say three profound pieces of halacha. Number one, the Tarsha of Rav Chama works. By the way, the Tarsha of Rav Nachman also works. Heter Iska combines a number of these different things, which we'll get to. But this Tarsha arrangement works. That's number one. Number two, we claw back ribbis, right? Ribbis. And I'll say, how do we claw back ribbis? In the exact form it was given. That's what we saw today in the Gemara. And number three, psika laperos. I'll say last couple of days, psika laperos, forward future contract, is permitted as long as either what? Yeshlo or Yatsa Hashar. Again, we'll say, remember, keep a running tally of this stuff. Otherwise, not going to retain it. Right, so Yatsa Hashar, or you're thinking to yourself, too late already, right? No, it's never too late. We'll say, come on. We'll say, if you're going to take Daf Yomi seriously, take it seriously, take notes, keep everything going. Otherwise, again, it's mamish like it's just drinking coffee. Hey, so the Maisa again, so Yatsa Hashar, or Yeshlo, and I will say, now we've seen a psika laperos. When you pay that back, you can, like Rabbi Yana, you can either pay it back in produce or value or actual money of that produce as well. Incredible. Mishnah, here we go. Macher lo asasad v'nasla mitzas damin. So I said, now watch this. I sell Reuven a field, and Reuven gives me partial payment. Va'amar lo, a masay shetirtze, right? Have a mos, v'tol es shalcha. So I say, so now what happens? And I say to Reuven, okay, listen, you give me partial payment, no problem, down payment. When you bring me the rest of the money, I'll give you possession of the field. Fantastic. So we'll say, usser. It is usser. Now we'll say, now what's usser? Rashi says, over usser lasos came in dafka da amrale, lechi maisis mutra mosra mos, kaname akshav, lefichach usser lasos came, shim yochal. So we'll say, the issue over here, as we can see in the Gemara over here, is who gets to eat the produce in the interim? The problem with this type of transaction is, so I'm selling the field to Reuven. Reuven gives me the money. Okay, so it's a down payment. I said to Reuven, fine, when you go ahead and you pay me the rest of the money, the field will be yours. Now, Rashi is already giving us coming attractions that halacha lemaisa, what I'm saying is the field will be yours retroactively from the time that you gave me the first down payment. The problem is, in this interim, who gets to eat the produce? Because they both say, we're running into a ribbis problem regardless. If I, the seller, eat it, then in the event that Reuven does not go ahead and pay for it, then Lamaisa, I've gotten the loan plus produce, right? And if Reuven does pay for it, ultimately there's ribbis as well. Either way you cut it, there's ribbis on whoever is consuming the produce. So Havo al Sadeh, Va'amar lo, im iata nosin nikan va'at shalosh shanim, hari hi sheli. So we'll say again, if halacha lemaisa, the Rosh says, this is a collateralized case. It's number two case, I lend Reuven money and he gives me a field. He gives me collateral. And we say, if you do not pay me back the loan from now until 3 years, hare hi shalo, the field becomes mine, hare hi shalo. Ultimately, again, the field belongs to him. The field belongs to him, and so does the produce. And this is what Baitos did as well. Okay, Rabbosei, we'll define that case in the Gemara a little bit later. Let's go. Says the Gemara, mi ochel peros. So Rabbosei, in this type of transaction where I'm selling Reuven a field, right, he gave me a down payment, and the field will become his upon payment of the field. So Rabbosei, so full payment. Who gets the peros in the interim? Rafuna amar mocher ochel peros. Rafuna says the seller gets the produce in the interim. Rav Anan amar mishalshen es haperos. Rav Anan says, no, essentially, we kind of put the peros in escrow. We put in escrow to figure out who is going to get it. So the Gemara says, well, hopefully, it's not a contradiction. Had the amar le'lechi maisis kani, had the amar le'lechi maisis kani me'achshav. So I'll say, it's not a contradiction. Everything depends on how you structure the transaction. If halacha l'maisa, I say, Reuven, you give me the down payment, the field is only yours when you pay me the full amount. So we'll say, in that case, it's clear. Who owns the field until the full amount is tendered? Who owns it? Who owns it? Me. Which means, who gets to eat the peros during that entire time? Me. As opposed to, if I say, Reuven, when you pay me the money, the field will become yours retroactively. All. So we'll say, so now, in that interim, we don't know who owns the field. Because we don't know who owns the field, essentially, we can't let either party go ahead and... We can't let either party go ahead and partake of the produce. So we'll have to stop over here for today. We're fine. Tomorrow is a short... Aron Aleph is a shorter daf, so we'll get through everything. Not a problem. Maybe I'll record a little bit more today also. I'll say, tremendous shkach. What a schos to learn this incredible parak with all of you. Shkach, have a good Erev Shabbos. All right, chev on Zoom. A good Erev Shabbos, everyone. Chev on Erev Yisrael, a good Erev Shabbos. Oh, beautiful to see everyone. I'm jealous, permissible jealousy.